So welcome to the post-mortem of Detective Case in Clonbot in Marina Hotel, Lisbon. It should be me and Diogo, but as those of you that were in the keynote know, he's coughing like a madman, so he won't be up here talking. So this will be more serious. Those of you that are waiting for the jokes, I do have, you know, an hour DNA, but it's a bit more serious about what we did. And I don't know, it's big. I will try to squeeze it as much as possible, and you will be telling me how much time I have. Let's get the things out of the way that matter first. Who doesn't know what game this is? One, come on. Two guys. So this is Merlin Hotel Lisbon, okay? And it's a game that is a retro point and click adventure video game. It takes place in the 80s. It was inspired by Monkey Island and the Police Squad TV series. It's multi-platform, we launched it everywhere. Is it the best game in the world? We would say so. So the next question is, who has played it? Please raise your hands. Okay, so next question. Who bought it on PC? One, two, three, four. Four guys bought the game on PC. And who bought it on mobile? One. See? I know. And who saw a video of someone else playing it? Yeah, more hands. See? I know this. And who pirated it? Zero hands, right? But we know that it was pirated like billions of copies. But let's move on to who am I and Diogo. We met at the store. He had a store in Porto in early 2010. It was awkward and strange, like every first meeting. It is like, this guy looks like me and he does things like me. It's like a clone or something. So we hit it first, you know, it involved probably a lot of drinking Porto wine. And as all Portuguese do, for all of those who are international, whenever we meet a good friend, we have a drink of Porto wine. So, you know, it's how we do it. And at the time I was building this game that nobody knows, Under Siege. And Diogo was doing something, I don't remember what. But we understood each other perfectly. He was about video games, I was video games. We liked the same type of games. We had the same ideas about how to make games. He had his business, I had mine, but we were like, I met somebody here that in the future we might work together. So time moved forward, and as you know, it moves forward, and we are very funny guys. This is not funny stuff. And we started making stuff together. My company was closing, and it was not because I was making money. Actually, I lost a lot of money. And so it was the good opportunity, perfect opportunity to start working together on workshops, on game dev related events, you know, making stuff together. This was like what he wanted to do. Things were never gay between us. Don't think about it. Our girlfriends disagree. They say, yeah, this was pretty gay. You're always out together, going and doing things, video games, yay, whatever.
Video games.
So Nerd Monkey's creation, it was in March 2013 that we decided to do Nerd Monkey's. And Nerd Monkey's was born. I threw a pitch at Diogo and I said, look, why don't we do a studio that is funny, that is entertaining? It will look stupid, but that will be the catch. It is serious but stupid and funny. And I included an early script for a game called Detective Dick. And Diogo agreed and he funded the thing. He said, this is great, let's do this. And so Nerd Monkey's was founded right there and then, like in a few days between writing a business plan and deciding on the name and everything else. And we decided we will do this game, Detective Dick. It will be the first point and click game. It is the perfect game to start, simple. It's effective, it will be, you know, easier than a more complex 3D game. It's perfect for us to start. It was all very stupid and funny, as you know. So in April 2013, things were moving along, and we moved into this awesome co-work space called the Lisbon Studio. The Lisbon Studio is a co-work space full of individuals who do comics and illustration and animation. And I have there lots of good friends that do jobs for Marvel Comics, that work for American companies, that work in animation. And so we thought, these are my friends already. I will just put the studio inside Lisbon Studio. I have a space there. Like, then they are saying, come on over. I will have all these people that can critique my work. And they will look at me, you know, oh, it's funny and seriously, but they will critique it for sure and say if it's good or bad. And they don't know anything about video games, so even better. They will have a, you know, an outside perspective about video games. Diogo was jelly. He was not there. He was in Porto for another year. So I was working into his thing, and he was like, when am I going to move back to Lisbon? My friends helped me move in. My girlfriend was finally happy I was not working at home, you know, because I was working hard at home, you know, doing things, doing games. And no, I was not. I was playing games. Sorry, honey. And why? So why did we make this company in this video game? Of course, you know, why? We are making video games, but why? How was it thought? And I always wanted to make an old school point and click video game, period. That was like a long last idea. And in my previous company that was bigger, doing this kind of game didn't make sense. It was like, this is too small. And the team was 3D. And it was too stupid. You know, what? You're stupid? What? Come on. In the design, there was never a game based in Portugal that was, you know, Portuguese. We had some things, but we needed something. I wanted to do something that had fresh and distinguishable look. That is a mistake. Also, pixel art. Lots of fans, hey, pixel art, cool. It's also cheaper and faster. If I need to change something, it's really fast. It's like we could create a character, animate it, and put it in a game in like in the same day, everything was ready. So this was a decision on the principle that if we do it like that, it complements the 80 settings and it solves the problem of a small team. To cut the lo-fi look of the game and give it, make it feel more alive, we went for an orchestral sound, and I will, and we recorded live music with a small orchestra. I'll tell you how we do that. And the sound, I cut it off almost completely. There's almost no sound. Nobody ever thinks about it. If you think about it, there are no footsteps. There are a few footsteps. There are no doors opening. There are no cars passing. There's nothing. But nobody misses that, you know, the sounds that are not there. Because the mixing of the retro with the orchestral, you know, balances itself out. And suddenly, nobody misses the sounds. And of course, stupid humor is easier to do than something very intelligent or very dark. And you know, stupid humor, it's more understandable, acceptable by younger kids, you know, older kids, and eventually, why not? Why, you know, if at the end of the day, why won't we do this game? Because we will have fun and it will be great to do some game like this. Me and Diogo said, before we start the game, let's also add some extra crazy goals. And the first one was, okay, orchestral music, but let's really record it, not do it digitally. So this was like, maybe we can do it, maybe we can. If we are doing a game based on Portugal, we need to have fado, and let's put in a bit of jazz as well. It will like complement it fine. When people find it and discover it, will be great. We had an idea to do an old school PC box, you know, cardboard, like big, heavy, maybe full of posters and stuff. This was something we wanted to do. We also wanted to invite famous writers to write new episodes, release it on as many platforms as possible, and get a brand associated with the game. Like, get a famous brand, and maybe Detective Case, which was the time was Detective Dick, was drinking like Licor Beirão or something, and he would talk about it, you know, but, you know, very bluntly, and it will be funny because he's like promoting his own game, and he's drinking, and it's a real brand. And we also get extra money for that, of course. So it begins. We slow it first, and faster, and we start one pre-production. I was writing a story, designing the game, hiring people, actually working, you know, it's not like Diogo that was funding the project, you know, has money, just throws it. Contacts and deals, you know, calling people and stuff, and talking about their future projects. It's very easy. Yes, it's extremely easy. We were in June of 2013, it was warm and nice, and we started production. José, who is the programmer, joined forces to program the game. He entered the company. We had a guy that was outsourced just to do work on the sets. We had the first playable build like quickly, very quickly. And we had a thing that was Nuno Saraiva. Nuno Saraiva is a designer, an older guy that is very well known in Lisbon for his iconic work if you see in Alfama, he has illustrations. He has lots of books published, you know. He's a very well-known illustrator with very specific art style. And I had my art style in the game that was dark and gritty with this silly humor of an old detective Dick, that was the name, with the hat, and he was very grumpy. And he came in and he did this, we grabbed some money that we had and I said, this is not working, let's flip over the tables and do something colorful. Because the humor is stupid and funny, let's not go, you know, overboard. And so there was a review of design, change in direction, and of course the script had to be rewritten for the story because this is an adventure, it has a story, has to coalesce with the style. But this was great. The entrance of this guy, Nun Saraiva, was a great decision to flip the tables and create an iconic style that I did not have. So this was very important. And this, if you see, June, July, this was all very fast. July, what happened in production? We were full steam ahead, but not on steam yet. We changed the mechanics and new options. Like, for example, those who have played the game, I asked the question at the beginning, some of you haven't played the game. The clown bot, this character, opens up an infinity portal and tentacles come out, which are actually where he keeps all the items of the game. And that was actually did not exist in the original design. He had an infinity hole, like a portal to another dimension, and you would just stuff him with all the items. And that was a solution to keep any sized, like I could keep a ladder with the characters inside that clown bot. It was a portable item carrier. And then we had the idea, but we need to show it to the character, where are the items? Okay, let's put, and then, I don't know where it came from, let's put an octopus living there, and it has like a tentacle that comes out, has all the items that you need. And so that solved a lot of problems with how the item system worked and where it was stored, and it made sense for the player, and it was funny. And the menus, there was no idea for the menus. We also decided, well, as some of you know that play the game, a clown bot knows that he is inside the game. He breaks the fourth wall. And that's not only a joke, but also a way of me saying, okay, he knows he's in the game, he has the menus. You click on him and the menus pop up, you know, for him to go to the menu and do things. So the clown bot became the item carrier and the menus, and he's always following detective case. So we solved a lot of problems with some easy and fast design ideas that came along after the original design. It was originally possible to control detective case and then switch to clown bots and move them around independently. And with these decisions, it just became one character that has actually two. And so it's the main character that smokes and talks and drinks and everything, and clown bot that tells the jokes and carries the whole system of menus and items behind them. It was the creation of awesomeness, of course. Whatever. So, August. We started cutting back on redundant content that wouldn't make it, like extra characters, cutscenes, employees, etc. We added more important stuff to complement the game, like extra dialogue, explaining stuff, the tutorials. There was a new team member that came in to, you know, typical exploitation. Oh, come on over, we have something for you here, do a mini game. And he actually did stand-up clown, which is the mini game where you are with Clownbot in a nightclub doing stand-up jokes. And it's a mini game that then became really, it won an award, the mini game recently, in the best apps ever. It's weird, but it was cool. We set up the website and we were preparing for announcements. And of course, we managed, one of the goals we were managing that was getting an orchestra at a university of music to record actual music with a partnership, without using money. And the music was composed, fortunately I have a brother that is a composer and pianist, and I, don't you want to do, you know, something cool? And he said, yes, I will, it's cool, let's do it, and he wrote the soundtrack. So the trailer had an awesome soundtrack, and with retro graphics, you know, coalesced, always great. And we were reaching September. And September was when everything happened with the announcement. We had the trailer, this was very fast, production started in June. And we were, me and Zé doing art and programming, outsourcing the sets, Diogo doing production in Porto with money. And we did the website, we hired a company to do some of the work. And we started Greenlight with the trailer, with the website, with everything. We had to write press releases for the media guys, you know, the game is this, the game is that, here you can copy paste. And the media guys that are here, you love this part. There were lots of boring interviews. We started early bird sales and no demo. People were like, why is there no demo? Because the demo of such a short and small game would fill you up. You would be happy. Ah, I played the demo. I know what it is. Okay, I will buy the game someday. And so no demo, actually, that's what lots of people are saying, oh, the consoles now have no demos. Of course, developers already understand that if you have a demo that's really good, it might be the opposite, where I already have my, you know, I'm satisfied with the demo, I don't need to buy the game, I've already played it. So we had no demo. People ask, what about the demo? No, never mind, there will be no demo. Oh, you missed the part about the media guys being really smart people. Wrapping up production. So we discard any unused assets so that when you compile, you know, you don't have stuff that is not used. It's unnecessary space. We compressed whenever we, wherever we could do it. We cleaned up. We prepared for launch with beta preview keys. We fired ugly people that were unnecessary. It's, this type of humor is terrible. It doesn't work here. We did lots of tests in universities where we have partnerships to put kids playing, you know, 50 people playing the game, and you go in and you see if it's funny or not, how is it working, and it went really well. We had no money to do quality assurance outside, so we did it in-house, but it is a small game as a feature-wise. It's very simple, very basic, so it was okay. This didn't go so well with the English version. I'll go back to that. Some tweaks in Polish. And we got to 5th of December 2013 for the release date. And for release, we had, of course, the launch of the website, the Zura, Pirate Bay launch. And for those of you who don't know, we did a Pirate Bay version that was a trick. It was the same game, cut back on content, and there was a little pirate guy that would pop up in the middle of the game and say, oh, you copy the game, well done. So if you want to buy it, go to this website, and then the pirate would point you to the real game. And you would actually say, that's okay, your save can actually transition to the game if you buy it. And so we did the Pirate Bay launch, which for 2 or 3 weeks was great because everyone pirated the wrong version. Lots of anxiety pills for me and Diogo and Zeb because they have never launched the game before. And of course, I was just cruising. This was the easiest game ever. Red wine for me. And girlfriends didn't care. They couldn't care less. So what happened next? We did more stuff. We launched the game. It was a good launch. I will go into that. We did something that for international speakers was about praxis. And this is a classic freshman reception at university. And this is, as you know, very polemic here in Portugal. And we decided that it was an opportunity for social expression. Show that video games can be a vehicle for expression and that we are here also for that. And it worked brilliantly. We had lots of newspapers from universities wanting to talk about the game because in this version that was free, there was a case, if you play, who played this version? Two people, three. In this version, the game is different. Five college guys, you know, in black, like in the Portuguese academic universities, come to you and say, oh, we have a freshman, Caloiro, that disappeared because he doesn't want to get praxe. Will you help us find him? And when you accept the case or they will beat you, so you accept it. And then when you find the freshman, you have to decide if you give it to him, if you don't give them to them, and then there are other options. And so you, the player, decide if praxe is okay or not. Whatever you think, it's not our responsibility. So it was a good opportunity, and also, like, we have the game done, it's the engine, let's just do this really fast, and it worked wonderfully. Steamy 17th of July 2014, of course, the Steam version came out, you know, more quality assurance, Steam cards, Steam achievements. It was right before Game Dev Camp from last year, like the day or the second, 2 days before, so we weren't sleeping for that, and then we weren't sleeping to do the presentations here, so it was a great time. For January, we did the mobile versions. We did a second round of press releases, new mechanics for the mobile version, magnifying glass. We did lots more of this. I will move forward to Q&A, which I think is more interesting. More anxiety pills and red wine. And again, girlfriends couldn't care less what we were doing. She's so cool. So it's always important to talk about the people that work and these things. And this is the core of the team, and these guys enter later for the new episode that are being done. This is the guy that is doing Super Arrebenta Manos, the game, four-player game, multiplayer that's there. And of course, we did all sourcing for the sets, for the sound, for the music. Philippe Melo came in with his jazz band and gave us some jazz songs to put in the game. The musicians, of course, testers, and friends who tested, and friends of friends who tested the game. So this was like the core team for this game. Conclusions. What went right? So we managed. This was a very cheap, low-cost budget game made in 8 months. I won't tell you the price now. We'll still not yet. I will talk about it later in some other presentations. Still too early because of our investors don't want to talk about it yet. But we had very good reviews for our first game. We had a great new team ready, fresh character designs, and we are still not. We still don't know if this became something iconic or not in the Portuguese culture. We would like to, of course, but that's our wish. We hope so, and we hope that inspires more people to do stuff like this. And what went wrong? We launched around PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. We could have waited. We actually waited to be between Xbox One and PlayStation 4, because the original launch date was October, which was Xbox One, and then December would be PlayStation 4, if I'm not mistaken. So we launched it between. We had a very long Steam Greenlight approval process. It was a niche market and still is. It took a long time. We had a buggy English translation because we did it ourselves, of course. And those extra crazy goals. We managed to do this. We managed to do this. We couldn't do this. The publisher wanted to pull our leg. They had a contract that we changed. They wanted, it was a UK publisher that came in, we'll give you money and publish the box, and et cetera. And me and Diogo look at the contract, no, let's change this. And I'm glad we changed it because later they just disappeared and they were never found. So there was no harm done here. We have two famous writers that you might have heard of, Nuno Markel and Filipe Homem Fonseca, sort of because Filipe Homem Fonseca has done his, not really because Nuno Markel then did one that then threw away and then he eventually decided he doesn't want to do it anymore. So this it's probably already not going to happen anymore because it's been so long. This was to happen earlier. So not really. We did this. Not on consoles, somebody was asking, what about consoles? It's a too small game, so small, so niche, that if I port it, I will waste more money porting it and doing QA than actually making money back. We didn't manage to do this. We had Diogo searched lots of brands of wines and brandies, and the idea was to do a package that was a wine box. And you would buy in the wine box, and here comes a retro video game, Portuguese wine, Portuguese game. Everybody loved the idea, and then in the end it will always be, but we won't do it. So we're like, come on. It was a great idea. So, some breakdown. People always ask us about this. Here it is. It's rounded numbers. As you can see, there wasn't much effort here, so it's not much of a loss. But the fact is that if it was not for the engine that, you know, very easily exported, we would have not done it. As for mobile, we knew this would happen because if you search Merlin Hotel Lisbon Android, you have thousands of sites with a pirated version. We knew this would happen. And we are not concerned at all because it sells every day, 1, 2, 3 copies. And we have something coming up in a few, I can't tell you right now because of an NDA, coming later for Merlin Hotel Lisbon, that this won't make any difference at all. But these are right now the breakdown of numbers. But this is more interesting. And I'm racing here. How much time do I have? 15. Yeah, I'm glad I'm racing. So you can see here that through breakdown of those numbers, top is USA, and then Portugal comes up fourth, and Japan fifth. But the revenue, which is how much people paid for the game, you can see that people in Portugal paid more for their game because they're Portuguese and didn't buy it in bundles or something else. And suddenly Japan disappears. Like, they are cheap bastards, you know, only bought the cheap versions. So it doesn't even appear on the top 10 in other countries. So this is always interesting because the game, we did lots of experiments, and one was the metadata of the game was like in Russian, in Polish, in Chinese, in Japanese, although the game is only in English and Portuguese. And then we look and, here's Russia, here's Japan, Germany. We always said, once you translate it to Germany, no, they're not funny. They don't understand this. It's impossible to translate to Germany. It's a joke, of course not. But so this is interesting, and it's for you to have I can't give you like exact numbers, as me and Diogo don't agree exactly on giving out all that info, but this is very important for you to understand how it's right now breakdown. We have no idea how many, but it's such a small game and iconic that I bet lots of Portuguese pirated and not bought it. Finally, you know, people ask us, oh, what do you use? Well, you know, it doesn't really matter, but here you go. It's the standard stuff. Game Maker Studio was a decision at the beginning that we look at the game, what is the easiest engine to do it, and faster, Game Maker Studio, great. My friend Zed, the new programmer, was very at ease with it, so we did it in Game Maker Studio. It was a great decision. Some curiosities. My first meetings were all done inside Starbucks, because in the Lisbon studio with all these artists, you know, these are crazy guys, and these are like paints everywhere, crazy hours, you know, swear words. And so I thought, okay, what can I do? And there's a Starbucks in the Belém that on the first floor, almost nobody's ever there. And it's a very nice place. So I was scheduled the meetings there, and they all went, you know, great. This is a very interesting point. I was the only guy in the team with a published video game. I didn't notice until we were already up and away, but I didn't choose people because of this. I had lots of choices, and I met some of the people here that are here today, talked to me at the time and decided not to do. And it was funny that the people that had never done a video game decided to come into the team and do it. This was also cool. The trailer that is still the original trailer is all bullshit. It's not recorded from the game because the game was not ready and I needed to finish a trailer. So all the animation that I was doing on Photoshop, I just started assembling like an editor. I'll edit this sequence here, I'll edit this one, and this looks like the final game. There was an intro like TV Squad, Police Squad, with the car and the detective case. That was very complex pixel art animation. I just dropped it. It was not necessary. But the music comes in the released cassette. There was a game jam that was made called Altera Game Jam that people made game based on Murder in Hotel Lisbon. That was also very cool. Always give back. And this is why I'm here today. This is the most important thing that we are doing now, today, with Murder in Hotel Lisbon. We are opening the doors. And right now, you can go to our website and download the original document. It's in Portuguese. Design document. 10 minutes. Thank you. The final version that changed a lot, you will compare, it's very different. The complete script to see, you know, my crappy writing of the complete script and how it was done in conjunction, because this was done at the same time. I was writing both. The side quests, you know, especially if you're stuck. This is easier. The level diagrams, the production calendar, and it's all free and available. This is a quick link, but Diogo, do we have... If people go to NerdMonkeys right now, it's easy to find or not?
It's kind of easy.
It's kind of easy?
Tomorrow I'll put it
Put it publicly, okay. So, this is something that everyone always asked in Portugal for the last year. Okay, big booming industry, and then the guys from the universities come. Okay, can we have a design doc? Can we have a business plan? We're not sharing yet business plan later on, not now. And I said, no, because NDAs is, fuck it. Here, it's all here. Only now because it's been 2 years, so now it's a good time to share this. And I hope that this helps in the universities where they study and they need to show an actual game that is on sale, done here with the documents side by side. So what's actually missing is the complete source code that will be available as well with all assets, except some musics that we don't have, like the jazz music we don't have the rights to. But only on the 17th September, and like on the keynote, I have to leave you with a surprise. I'm not saying how we will distribute it, but when it happens, you won't believe it how we did it. Okay? And we can't really, and there's an NDA with that, so. So this was a bit like rush, no images. I just wanted to, you know, dump information here. There's time for Q&A. Ask away anything you want.